So today we're here with Jason Andrew, who's a freelance photographer who covered the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th for the New York Times. How are you today?
I'm okay. I'm still, I think, processing everything and, you know, probably spending too much time looking at timestamps throughout that day, but I'm doing well.
Good. Okay. So what was your assignment that day and how did you prepare for that?
So my assignment that day was actually to start between 11 and 12 at the Capitol, but I always like to arrive early just to kind of get a feel for the crowd. And so I arrived actually with Ashley Gilbertson, another photographer, and about 9 o'clock in the morning as we were walking to the elliptical, a pickup truck from West Virginia drove by us with three men in full combat gear in the back of the pickup. And I remember turning and taking that picture, and Ash looked at me, why? Because it wasn't an image. And I said, because this is exactly how Charlottesville started. And so it like brought me back right away to 2017 in Charlottesville. And I felt that I went from not only documenting it, but keeping an eye open for the same characters and for the same feeling on how all the chaos began on that day. So I don't know how I prepared for it. I go in, I speak quietly, I walk slowly, I try to acknowledge everybody's around me. But definitely on that day, there was definitely a heightened sense of security the moment I saw that truck.
So what did you bring in? Like, how did you dress or how did you prepare?
It's funny. I tell people I try to dress like them, but I think that's a very broad statement. I usually just wear jeans. I wear a nondescript jacket that usually isn't black. I have a really small backpack that looks like a military issued backpack, but a lot of photographers that work on the Hill use them just because they're really easy to carry. And I just had two cameras with one lens on each.
So any other like safety precautions that you took ahead of that day or when you were there?
No, I mean, I had goggles in my pocket. I've learned through all the George Floyd protests that I'm pretty good working with a KN95 mask. If there's tear gas, I can work through it as long as my eyes are protected. Other than that, no, just constantly checking in with our team, sending photos of where we are and doing constant checkups as we're moving. So as I was moving from the elliptical to the Capitol, it was constantly giving them updates of where we were at all times.
So you were in communication with your editor or
other? I was in communications with our whole team, everybody that was working there for the New York Times. And then I was also in communication with Ashley Gilbertson and Chris Lee, two other photographers. So we had an ongoing chat going as well that we would inform each other on what we saw as the day was progressing.
Yeah. What kind of behaviors were directed at you by the people in the crowd? Did they know that you were media at first or that you were part of the press or?
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, they definitely did. They made a comment to us and to Ash and I that it was our cameras that made us stand out. But I would say in all honesty, if we didn't have cameras, we could have blended in pretty well. I left the Capitol as they were breaching. I didn't know that they were coming in. I had been in the Capitol filing and we got notice that the Capitol was on lockdown. I went to walk the Capitol. Nobody was around. A tweet had gone through from a senator that they were asked to grab their safety gear. Went into the tunnels looking for them. Nobody. Everything was normal. By the time I had left out of, I want to say it was a Dirksen building, but it might have been another building, the doors had shut and I was locked out. So it's a very weird scenario for me because, you know, if I would have made a decision a little differently, I would have been inside. But when I showed up at the Capitol, I just started talking to people and asking them how they were doing as I was photographing them climbing the west side of the wall. And I felt that by speaking to them and just, you know, walking slowly and just kind of also checking in on them, they pretty much left you alone. But at no time did I realize the amount of chaos that was going on next to me, you know, within 100 feet.
Wow. Yeah. And the fact that you had just been in the building and then.
And it's really like, it's been this really kind of nerve-wracking moment that I continue to relive through my head. And I was speaking to a colleague yesterday on the Hill, Carol Guzzi, and she was doing the same thing. And I realized by looking at Ash's timestamps of when he was moving through the building and my timestamps, by the time I left to file those pictures to the New York Times, Ash had already been in the building for 30 minutes. So everything was moving so quickly, but it felt like it was moving really, really slowly.
Yeah, was he already in there when they...
Already in there, yeah. So when I started photographing them going up the walls, Ash was already breaching through the doors or the windows, following them in.
Oh, so he was coming up behind them. He wasn't in there.
So it was interesting because I think I was about 2:37 was when I left to my last image. And at that moment, I want to say Ash has that picture of them walking the spiral staircase. So he had already been in the building. By the time I filed and got back, he was already out of the building, which was not 30 minutes later.
So he was just in and out.
Yeah, but it was an hour. Yeah. And so it felt like forever, but it wasn't. It was really, really quickly. Everything just moved so fast.
Yeah, I remember personally, I was watching CNN when it was happening and like seeing each moment progress as it was happening. It felt like it was happening really fast.
Yeah, it happened a lot quicker. And it's been like, I'm glad that we have those timestamps in our messaging apps. And like, I'm able to go back and able to look at like my images and figure out where I was. And, you know, it was a decision. I was either going to stay and photograph and not get anything out, or I was going to file to the Times. And, you know, filing to them was what I was there for. And so looking back, it's hard dealing with that, thinking I may have missed so much. But I think every journalist is now talking about that and kind of having those thoughts, just trying to figure out where all that time went.
Right. It was just happening so fast, you didn't have time to process what you were going to miss or not.
At all. And knowing that I had to file throughout the day, I had to keep getting away from the Capitol and getting somewhere where there was a reception so I could file, then coming back. And so, yeah, it was a wild day. It was definitely, it was a day that I was happy that I was always working alongside a colleague who was looking out for me and I was looking out for them, and glad that I was in constant contact with people so we knew what was going as things were happening.
Right. How did this experience compare to other protests or riots that you've covered before? Because you said you kind of had this feeling of Charlottesville when you arrived.
It was the same people as Charlottesville. I remember sending a text message to our WhatsApp group, and they were asking about armaments. And I said, there was bear spray, bats, and long knives. And they said, has anybody else seen that? And everybody else was in the elliptical, so they hadn't seen anything outside of it. And to me, it was seeing those moments felt like I was seeing the same group of people that were in Charlottesville. They were not only there to protest, they were there for a reason. And so it made me very hyper aware of who I was photographing, why I was photographing those people. And yet the violence from the police and the national and federal line wasn't there, which is what I expected from the George Floyd protests early on. So, you know, the second day in Washington, D.C., there was tear gas. We were getting hit with rubber bullets and pepper bullets, and there was nothing. I remember thinking in my head, they're going to start shooting at any moment. And it never happened. And one moment that I stopped as I was shooting, I was taking pictures, I ran up to a family, and they had a daughter about my age, about 4 years old, and they were sitting behind, I want to call it a container, but it was like a mobile office that the Trump supporters had taken over. And the daughter was shaking and she was drinking out of a bottle of water. And there was the mom and the dad and two other kids. And I ran up and I said, you need to leave now. And they said, no, no, we're getting our masks on. And their son says, but they're climbing the walls. And I said, my daughter is her age. She is scared. You need to leave now. And it was like that moment of me being a parent that like, the camera was put down, because I was more worried about that kid and like how that was going to have lasting impressions on her than the picture that was going to happen 2 seconds later. But I don't know, you know, people, I really, really thought they were just going to start shooting people, and honestly surprised that it didn't happen.
Right. Yeah. How do you feel now? Like, looking back on that, how you reacted in that moment, like, is there things that you would have done differently or?
Yeah, I think there's always things you would have done differently. You know, I relive that day. Like, I walked by the group of Proud Boys that were waiting on Constitution Avenue, waiting for the rest of protesters to line up. And I stopped and waited and waited and said, I either wait with them and photograph that or I file. And I knew that we needed to get images out. So I filed. I think that if I would have run over, you know, through the Capitol a bit more, I would have probably been in there when that all happened. Would that have benefited me? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, we had two brilliant photographers already inside the Capitol. It didn't make sense for a third person to be there. I don't know. There's so many moments that I keep running through in my head, but at the end of the day, like, I'm happy with what I captured. I'm happy that my colleagues are safe. And I'm more concerned about what the next few days are going to bring. And so I find that's where my focus is right now.
Yeah. So going right into that, what are your plans for this week? What are you going to be covering? And do you have any tips for young journalists that might want to go out and cover these types of events?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's a hard one to answer right now, because honestly, my tips would be don't. Like, honestly, don't. I think these are, and saying that, I would probably scream and yell at myself and say, you can't say that at the same time. So right now I'm on assignment for the 20th. I will be working with the New York Times and their team photographing inauguration. In regards to the lead up, I will continue to photograph the troop buildup at the US Capitol for myself. I think those are images that historically we'll never get to see again, that our grandkids will be talking about in history books. So it needs to be captured. But in regards to young photographers, I honestly think the better images are going to be on the fringes of these protests, are looking at the quiet, subtle moments that everybody is forgetting. You know, if you don't have an outlet for your pictures, it all kind of becomes mute. And so if you want to get into the thick of things and you want to get tear gas and you want to get that image, you really need to understand what you're walking into. But the long-lasting images are going to be the ones that are off on the fringes, on the sides, while this is all happening. And I think, as you know, young photographers are looking and wanting to cover what's happening in America, I think they need to find the story that fits their style and their personality. And what's that story that they want to tell? I think my story would be much more different if I wasn't on assignment working for somebody.
Yeah, what would you do if that wasn't your assignment that day?
honestly, and knowing me, because I'm stubborn, I would have shot film. I would have showed up with my Hasselblad. I would have shot a ton of film. I would have always had a small digital camera with me. And because I have Senate press credentials, I would have continued doing that over the next week to 10 days. I would have just showed up every single day creating a body of work that felt a little quiet and a little subtle and a little more poetic to me than the absolute chaos that's going on. And I feel like I captured some of those images the next day in the Capitol of the cleanup when I was back, you know, 7 hours later. But yeah, definitely. I find that I'm attracted more to the quiet, subtle moments than I am the pure, absolute raging chaos. Because in the end of the day, it's you and 10 other, 12 other wire photographers all submitting to the same people. And so how do you create a unique vision for yourself?
Yeah, and differentiate it from other coverage.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, this has been a really awesome conversation. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate everything.